Father God, we thank you so much for the Holy Spirit's presence here today. Holy Spirit, we welcome you in. I yield myself as a vessel. I pray that you would think through my mind, that you would speak through my mouth, that I'd be an oracle of God. I thank you that you enlighten the eyes of our understanding, that we might know and understand what you're teaching us today. I thank you, Father, for those that have ears to hear and hearts open to receive the word. Holy Spirit, come in right now, as Jesus promised, and be our teacher. Touch hearts and minds, illuminate, give understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. All in agreement with that prayer say, amen. Well, the title of today's message is Parents, Love Your Children. Love your children. It's a shame you have to say that to folks. Love your children. Because so many parents love themselves because they were trained to be selfish, not selfless. And when they have children, they're not familiar with how to live for somebody else. They've been so much a part of the me generation that me and the I and myself, their three favorite people, me, myself, and I. And then they bring somebody else in. Now you're accountable. The Bible said in the latter days, you have women who would lose that heart for their children and mothers would not have a heart towards their children. It was just understood. Your baby is your baby. And that mother would surround that baby and nurture that. It was natural for women to do that. And the Bible said they're losing that. You have women that want to have a baby for the experience. Women want to have a baby for a baby shower. And then they had that baby and they're, oh my God, this has worked. There's dookie diapers. There's pee. This baby isn't like my Barbie doll. This thing stays around. I can't go put it on the shelf and go do my thing and just do what I want to do. This baby's like, it's all about me. It's all about me. But dang, this somebody's selfish as me. And people get surprised. They're like, they're shocked. It's not what we thought it was going to be. And because you don't look anywhere on television, anywhere on radio, anywhere in a song where motherhood is extolled, where a woman nurturing her family. You don't have the older women telling the younger women, keep your house, prepare a wonderful place, love your husband, take care of kids. No, go out there and self-actualize yourself. Go out there and get your own girl. You ain't going to have no man telling you what to do. Yeah, but now you got no kids either. Not any that you take care of because you got to work all the time. You out there self-actualizing yourself while the daycare is raising your children and the daycare isn't always Christian. They don't dedicate your children to the Lord. This is a problem. What is parenting? You got fathers that have turned away from their sons and their daughters too.
Well, yeah, that's just woman's work. I don't have nothing to do with that. I work, I make the money, that's all I do.
You have a child. God has already predefined your responsibility. He's already predefined it. Don't you know it? Today we're going to identify three ways parents are instructed biblically to express love for their child. Parents, love your children. The Bible expresses three ways. Three main ways that you are to express that love to your children. If you're going to be a godly mother or father, you've got to be doing this and you got to focus on this. This is the cost of parenthood. And we see kids running all over the place if they even know who daddy is. You know, sometimes they have all this stuff out. That's not my daddy, but that's my biological father. The Bible doesn't even talk about biological father separate from daddy because that's just not what's going on. That's a new thing. Because you got people dropping seed all over the place and not staying around for the harvest. You got fields out there taking seed in and not making sure there's a farmer to tend the crop. Because I wanted sex. He made me feel good. She looks beautiful and not thinking about the life that you're creating. Not thinking about the godliness of that life. Every child has a right to two parents. I understand things happen, war, death, disease, but every child has a right to two parents. God made them male and he made them female and they come together and they nurture a child. Does that mean if you're a single mom, your child's not going to be mature? No. Does it mean if you're a single dad? No, it doesn't mean that. But it does mean there's a gap that has to be filled. I encourage a single mother, especially if you're raising a boy, find a man, a male figure, because like my mother said, can't any woman make a boy into a man? It takes a man to make a boy into a man.
And what's happening, because so many boys have been out there getting these girls pregnant, that now they have no man there. The boy has no father. If the one who got his wife, mother pregnant came back, it's still just a boy, because a lot of them don't know how to be men because they don't teach that anywhere either. They don't teach how to be women and men. They teach how to be Mac daddies and hoochie mamas. Or they teach something called boyfriend and girlfriend. Have you noticed the Bible doesn't say boyfriends ought to do this and girlfriends ought to do that? That's kind of like something that's made up in between. But these boyfriends and girlfriends having children. It talks about what husbands and wives should do, but it doesn't say what boyfriends and girlfriends should do, because it doesn't talk about boyfriends and girlfriends at all. There's certain things these boyfriends and girlfriends allow, because you know it's allowed if somebody just say, hey, I'm moving in with my boyfriend, moving my girlfriend. Oh, okay, that's cool. It's about time. Y'all done gone on 3 dates already. It's about time. You know that's what they do. You know that's true. They might say 3 months, but they're like, we've gone out. You know, we've been dating 3 months. We think about moving in. How come you ain't think about getting married, being husband and wife? Well, you know, it's about time. Let's take the next step. Oh, y'all getting married? No, we're moving in. Well, I don't see that step on the step to godly success, because you get to moving in, get to shacking up, get to having kids. They all seem like I changed my mind. Then bam, that's my baby's daddy. Not my husband. That's my baby's daddy. Well, you know, I got to go see her because she had my kids. What is this? Jesus said it. When they said Jesus said Moses allowed you to get divorced because of the hardness of your heart, but he says it was not so from the beginning. He didn't jump on them, he didn't put them down, but he said it's not the will of God. And people run to divorce fast as they run to get married. Yeah, like, oh, you know, it don't matter, just get married. Okay, let's get married. Oh, it doesn't matter, let's just get divorced. Divorce is defined as a division, a tearing apart of two that were formerly one. All divorces hurt. Even an ecumenical divorce hurts. People tend like it doesn't hurt. There's a sense of failure that comes over you, like, I failed at my marriage. Now, we covered up by saying, it's their fault, I was married to crazy. No matter how crazy you make them, you were crazy enough to marry them. So crazy was married to crazy. You got to take some responsibility. I don't remarry folks who've been divorced unless they admit that they was wrong too. And then I've only remarried people who didn't know what they were doing, which most people didn't know what they were doing. But I told the people I married, I think I married 11 or 12 couples or something. I told every last one of them, you cannot remarry if you get divorced, except under very, very, very narrow circumstances, because you know this is for life. A lot of pastors don't make it clear. We have 12 to 20 weeks of premarital counseling to make sure you know what this is. This is not to be entered lightly. This is not a game. Children are probably likely going to come from this. Your lives will become intertwined. Your two lives may become one in a child. This is not a game. It's not Harlequin romance. It's not playing Barbies. This is the real deal. You're about to hook up with this person till death do you part. Not till it becomes inconvenient or it's not funny anymore. I find out they don't have the same likes and dislikes I have. Because you're not marrying yourself. That's illegal in most states. You're marrying somebody other than you. All you get to pick is which flavor of crazy you want. Because unless you're both two spiritual giants, they got some crazy in them. And don't go divorcing this one. Only get another flavor of crazy, because crazy is crazy in any flavor you make it. That's why I tell folks, when my wife and I were younger and we'd get into and things, I wasn't thinking about no divorce. All you get is another set of problems. At some point, I'm not picking on you, but you need to understand something's wrong, even if it's just your picker is broken. You don't know how to pick them. Something's wrong. So when it comes to parenting, good parenting starts with good people who understand and have a good marriage. That's why I encourage these young people who make the mistake old people made. Well, you know, my marriage is having a little problem. I think what we need is a child. Children don't fix problems in a marriage no more than getting married fix problems with people we're dating. I think what we need to do is we need to get married, then fix our problem. They don't fix problems. If you're selfish and self-centered, that doesn't fix the problem getting married. Having children don't fix problems. It exacerbates, it intensifies stress. Because now I got somebody, somebody else wanting me. It puts pressures on mothers. Now you got bills. You got a commitment. You got an 18 to 20 year commitment on this child. And nowadays, maybe 30 years. They don't move out some of the time. You got a commitment here. That's as long as your house mortgage. You better wake up and realize, do I want to have another? Do I want to have the first child? Am I mature enough to pay the price? Is my love so strong in my relationship that I want to have a product of our love so we can both have some more responsibility, some more obligation? And it's hard to tell people don't have kids the responsibility you're going to get when you have kids. Just like hard to tell people that are single what they're going to lose when they get married. You just think I'm gaining sex. No, you're gaining a wife and all the challenges she's got and all the needs she's got and all the expectations she's got. You're gaining a husband with all the needs he's got and all the challenges he's got and all the expectations she's got. But you just wanted to get married. When you get children, you are gaining responsibility. And you better think you're gaining responsibility before you're gaining somebody who will always love me. Because that ain't the first thing. When they come out, they're like, love me. I got poopy in my diaper. Change me. I'm hungry. Feed me. And you'd be like, oh, love me, baby. I love you long as you did all that for me. As soon as you stop doing that. That's not who you don't think. That's just like your husband. As long as you keep them pacified and happy, as soon as you don't do what they want, they're acting crazy. That's what you wanted was more of that. If you don't stop and think of what you're doing, then you'll turn against that person, or you'll turn against your wife, or you'll turn against your husband. Ah, she want me to go be with the family. She want me to quit playing golf. She want me to always want to be with. I didn't want that baby. She want that baby. When we're like that, parenting is very difficult because we don't have ourselves together. Children should be born out of a whole relationship. And remember I said marriage, you need to be whole before you start looking. That is a dumb, stupid, worldly statement. She's my better half. He's my better half. So you half a person. Two halves make one whole, but there's two people. There should be two wholes. Your marriage is not whole with two half people. You're still a whole person short. You don't see nowhere in the Bible, go find your better half. That's a worldly thing. That means I got something I want to take. I got half I need to take. I don't have it. Let me find somebody who's willing to let me take it from them and we'll shake hands. I'll let you take half of me. You take half of you. But you're still a person short when you get married. And you sense that. You sense. I counsel people and sometimes you can tell wholeness is not there because they're pressuring the other person. Make me feel. I don't feel like a man. You don't make. Pastor Cook, she don't make me feel like a man. He don't make me feel like a woman. I don't love him anymore. I don't feel loved by him. Why does he have to make you feel loved? You're going to feel whatever you want to. You date a girl, you buy her flowers, she feel loved. You marry her, she mad at you, buy her flowers, she don't even pick them up. I thought, hey, brothers, you know what I'm saying? I thought A, B, C equal D. I thought that made you feel loved. When we was dating, that used to make you feel loved. How come I buy you flowers now? You don't feel loved. It was Harlequin Romance told you it was the flowers. It never was the flowers. It was what you thought. If you're dating, you say, oh, he brought me flowers. That means he loves me. But then you're dating and he brings you flowers. That means he did something wrong. He trying to make up. What you do? Let me check the checkbook. You bought something, didn't you? See, if you think that, you ain't going to feel love. You always feel what you think, men and women both. If you feel you got a raw deal with your wife, you're going to feel you got a raw deal. Ain't no way you're going to think you got a raw deal and not feel you got a raw deal. If you feel your wife is a blessing, she's not perfect, but she's better than you deserve, you'll always be thankful for her. But if you feel you got a bum deal with your husband or your wife, you're going to feel that if you think that. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You're going to act like that. When people come in for counseling and they're fighting each other and bitter, it's never them being whole. It's something they're lacking that they're trying to take from the other person, and then they go have children. You need to not be a taker by the time you bring children in, because children are going to take enough from you. Women start all that. You don't understand. Stretch my body. I carried him for 9 months. I think my wife said that once. I said, I got to carry them until they leave this house. So let's not be comparing who got to carry for. God trade you. I'll take 9 months over 18 years. So let's just agree we both got our weight to bear when you have children, don't you? Because God told me I must provide for my family. So that's now my family. I got to provide, and that's till they leave the house. And that's more than just 18 years. I'm not demeaning what you do, but don't demean what I have to do either. I don't get brownie points for that. If you have children and you're going to be responsible, the wife is going to have more responsibility. The husband got more responsibility. The husband now has the father. The wife now has the mother. That's two hard jobs for both of you. Don't be fighting about who got it the hardest. The reality is the word, not what the world has said. You cannot run a Christian marriage by worldly thoughts. You cannot parent. You can't raise Christian children by worldly values. That's why we want to know what God says we do, we express. Let's take a look at the first one. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 5:8. No surprise, 1 Timothy 5:8 says, love enough to provide. Oh, well, all men provide. Ask some of these single mothers who can't find that check. They ain't providing, she having to take care of them. Or the check is late. Or the check is bouncing. Or he talking about, I ain't giving because you left me. And he's holding her hostage with the check. Not all men who have had children provide. There's a lot of sperm donors, but there's not a lot of daddies. Every child deserves a daddy and a mommy. And a daddy and a mommy is different than an incubator and a sperm donator. That's different. A daddy is there. A daddy does what he's supposed to do. They said the relationship with God, our Father, is Abba Father, Daddy God. He's going to do his job. He will take care of you, provide for you. He's going to do all he needs to do. But God has training available to develop you and to grow you. If you're whole, you already know how to take care of yourself. So when kids come and they're a little bit of financial pressure, you already are responsible for money. It's not an issue. It's not like they're starving. It's not that you can't do what you need to do, because the Bible commands you to provide. And if you don't provide, you're worse than an infidel, which is an unbeliever. Somebody doesn't believe in God at all. You act like you believe in God. You're worse than somebody believing in God. You don't take care of your own, especially those that live in the house you live in. You might have those exes and kids all over the place, but especially take care of those within the house. Take care of all of them, but especially those in your house. I always said there's men now that they'll come home crying and I'm looking for a job. I can't find no job. And they often, man, there's jobs everywhere. That's good. There's no job. There's jobs for people who want to work. I told them I would go to Walmart to the children's supply section, buy a pair of 59 cent scissors and start a lawn curtain service before my family starved. You do what you do. That's being a man. A woman can support a man that would do what needs to be done. Not come home, there's no good job, so we just gonna starve. The fool who goes to work and then comes back from work, I quit that job, that boss got telling me what to do. But baby, you don't have any money in the bank. What are we gonna do next month? Well, I don't know. All I know is I'm a man. I ain't putting up with that. You are a fool. You have people depending on you, people relying on you. And you talk about somebody hurt your feelings, so you're going to neglect your family. That's somebody not understanding what the word of God says a parent must do. You have a husband must provide for his wife. A parent must provide for their child. That is a must. You don't quit a job. You just suck it up and go on your off day and look for another job. Then when you got another job, you tell them, I quit. I don't need your job. Take it and shove it. You don't go in there, I quit, I ain't putting up with that. Oops, I don't have no money. Baby, I quit. And you think something wrong with, see, you don't support me, I'm down and you kicking me. Do you not know you have an obligation and you have not saved enough money to take care of that? You better go by Walmart with your last check and get some scissors and start a lawn cutting service, because you got to feed your family. That's irresponsible. I'm not picking on brothers if you've done that or you've been there. I'm telling you, that's how boys have been raised to stay boys. My daddy was a man. My daddy didn't play that. I saw that crying about something. Daddy, I don't want to cut the grass. I didn't even ask you if you want to cut the grass. I just told you go cut the grass. Okay, I thought it was an option. It seemed to be an option for my friend. My neighbor where I live at now, Bobby and Chris are out there cutting the grass. And we stand in the yard one day. He was standing next to me looking. He said, you know, I wish I could get my son to do that. I said, do what? Cut the grass. I said, just tell him to go cut it. He don't want to do it.
I almost laughed at him. Ooh, I didn't even have that in my mind. Is that the key? You just tell your parents you don't want to do it? What? I told them didn't want to do it, but they didn't go for it. What? Good grief. If you let children get off on that, you don't want to do it. Did you just tell me you don't want to do it? Let me give you a list of stuff I don't want to do. I don't want to take care of your behind. So since I got to do what I don't want to do, guess what you're going to do? You're going to do what you don't want to do. I tell my kids all the time, I say, most of your life going to be played in somebody else's ball field, so better learn to play by their rules if you want to succeed. If you're smart and you get your own ball field, you can make the rules. But if you live in my house, I make the rules. If you don't like the ball game, you can move. That's the rules. It's fair. If it's not fair and you think you get a better deal somewhere else, go there. I would advise you to go there. If there's a better deal, I would leave. If I didn't have God keeping me here the way you acting, I'd leave too. If there's a better deal, but this is the best deal in. I'm going to get through to heaven if I do what I'm supposed to do as a man of God. And this problem I got too, I love you, so I'm sticking around to help you, to mentor you, to be here for you, to provide for you, to care for you, to protect you. Because you're my son, you're my daughter. That's what a father, that's what a parent does. You provide. Primary and firstly, the first duty of parents is to provide food, clothing, and shelter. Oh, Pastor, what about God? What you going to tell a one-month-old about God? But that one-month-old going to want to eat before that 1 month go by. So your first priority and provision for your child is food, shelter, and clothing so they don't die. And they live long enough to get old enough for you to teach them about God. But you got to provide that. You've got to look and say, this is my responsibility. I need to make sure they have food. I'm not talking about your wife in fur coats and your daughter in fur coats. I'm talking about provide, eat, sleep, and drink kind of thing. You know what I mean? It may not be Perrier water or Penta water, but it's clean water. Might be the best tap in the city, but it's water. I found it out back in the lake. It's a good lake. It may not be Armani. And who are some of them other names out there? Klein and all these people. It might just be Skippy's, Kmart's, whatever. But you ain't naked. And if you think naked's a better deal, fig leaves out back. Knock yourself out. But fig leaves ain't in fashion for a long time. You're probably better off wearing these. I wanted the Jordans. I wanted some too. You know anybody giving them away? For $150, they get you some Jordans. On sale for $60 or $70. On clearance for maybe $30. You got $30? Well then, you got Skippies. Your feet are covered. They're protected just as well as those shoes. And kids, talk about they don't like it. Yeah, I think my kids said something like that before and I just laughed. Because they don't realize how funny they are. So you're a comedian, huh? You don't realize how funny it is. I'm not wearing those. I don't like them. You don't like them. You don't even pay for them. You don't like them. I'm sorry. You know? Put these shoes on, boy. You're going out this house. What's wrong with you? But other parents are like, I feel bad not being able to give my kids everything. I don't feel bad not being able to give them everything. I want to provide their needs. If I made more, I'd give them more. But I'm going to make sure they're covered. You're not going to be Jordans or naked. It's not going to be that. It's going to be everything that's in between there. I will provide for them. My children have never gone hungry. They have never slept in the streets. And they never not had something to drink. Because don't take that for granted. There are folks that live in the street. I grew up in Detroit. There's folks living in cardboard boxes. And that's only at night. They got to fold the cardboard up when the police come. They got portable housing. And I'm not talking about on wheels in a mobile home. I'm talking about the cardboard box of the day. Living there. It's 20 degrees outside and you live in a cardboard box. We ain't never done that. Parents, provide for your children. Let's examine the second way that parents are instructed to express love. Love prepares. Do you prepare your kids for a successful, prosperous future? Do you? Or do you just live? Do you have a goal of training? Do you have a way that you're teaching? Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7 reads, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words
which I have commanded thee this day shall be in your heart. God had taught the word to him, and he said, this word will be in your heart. And you shall teach, shall, most positive assertion in English language, stronger than will, you shall. And thou shalt teach them diligently, diligently, not just teach them diligently. Diligence is consistency over time. He was diligent at training. He was diligent at teaching. He was diligent at getting his body in shape for the meet. He was diligent at running on the track so he could win. He was diligent. The Bible put the word diligent in there. And thou shalt teach them diligently.
Well, you know, I taught them once. I said something about 4 years ago. I told my kids to love the Lord thy God. I guess when they got baptized 20 years ago. No, thou shalt teach them the word of God is the them diligently unto thy children. How diligent are you at teaching your children the word? Do you even bring them to church? Well, you know, I had a hard week. I was up late last night watching TV. You know, I had to go help my friend move yesterday, so I'm not going to church today. So, but you taught your kid diligently the word of God, right? To make sure they know it, to make sure when they grow up, they have a knowledge of God and they can keep that vow, right? Well, no, I just took the week off. That's not diligent. What is your plan? Do you do devotion with them? Have you bought them a Bible? Do you have family time where they read? I'm not saying you have to do all these, but I'm saying you have to do whatever it is you do to make sure your children know the word of God, and you have to make sure you're teaching to them on a regular basis. Because this doesn't allow you to tell them only on Sunday. Look at what it says. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, that's the word of God, and you shall talk of the word of God when you sitteth in your house. We only talk about it at church on the way, on the car, on the way to restaurant after church. The only time we talk about God. We used to pray every night. We would talk to our kids when they were young. Helen and I would talk to them every evening. We would pray before bedtime. Everybody came. Time to pray. Time to Bobby Kelly. Time to pray. And everybody come in there and pray. And when they were real little, everybody would take a turn praying. We'd start with, We'd start with Deanna, the oldest child first. And then we'd go down and Helen would pray. Then I would pray every night. For years and years while kids were growing up. They can tell you that. They don't know anything other than that. My mother used to do that. My dad wouldn't be there all the time because he'd be at work sometime, but my mother would have us kneel at the foot of bed. They were old school. Kneel at the foot of bed, put your hands together. Now I lay me down to sleep if I die before I wake and pray the Lord my soul to take. That's a crazy prayer. I ain't trying to die tonight. What do I? The Lord gonna take my, I'm too young for the Lord to take my soul tonight. How many people used to pray that? We just pray that. Now I lie me down to sleep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to. I'm like, I'm 4 years old thinking about death. But my mother didn't know no better. She didn't know what we knew now. But what she did, God honored it. I'm like, am I dying tonight? I'm four. Good grief. But we prayed every night. So we had a conscience of God. We did something. My mother would always talk about, hey, the Bible say obey your parents. Hey, the Bible say love your neighbor. I remember her all just saying it to God on your nerves. She was going about teaching us and shalt talk of the word of God when thou sitteth in thy house and would talk of the word of God when you walk by the wayside. You just out walking by and your son, and you sitting there. Maybe you go fishing. Maybe you out at the mall buying something and something happened and you see something. Say, hey, that's not love over there the way that person's treating that. Or you, some clerk is tripping and acting crazy. Son, you know, I felt like slapping him to the head, spin around three times, but that wouldn't be love. The Bible says we are to love our neighbors. Now, you know what? Let's just pray for this person. Pray for those who spitefully use you. You know, you teach them what you can teach them that you know. Not just at church. Teach them diligently unto thy children and teach them when you walk the word of God, when thou sittest in the house, when you walk by the way during your day to day, when thou layest down. You know, maybe it's time to go to bed and you talk about the word and you're praying and teach them how to pray. You teach God, you pray to God like this. If you're praying for something, ask the Father in Jesus' name. Don't ask Jesus because Jesus said in that day, you'll ask me nothing. Don't pray the prayer petition to Jesus. He said, don't pray it when he's at the right hand of God. That's disrespectful to the Father. He said, ask the Father if is the prayer petition in the New Testament, then he will give it to you. And how many people don't teach, how many pastors don't teach the sheep that? So you teach your children that at the laying down at night when we're about to pray. You teach them how to pray, what the word of God says prayer is. Diligent, preparing them to succeed in life. And when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when you rise up, you teach your children when they're getting up. This is a beautiful day. This is a gift. This is it. That's why they call it the present. When you wake up in the morning, that's the present. I'm living in the present. I have this day given to me as a gift. Not everybody went to bed last night, woke up this morning. Some people woke up in hell. Some woke up in heaven. But you have another opportunity. This is a gift to you. Right now, this moment is the present.
But God ain't never gave me nothing.
He gave you the present. As long as you're breathing, you can change. He gave you a present. You think they just made up present? It's present. It's a gift right now. You can do whatever you want to with it. You can study, you can read, you can pray, you can be mean and evil. You have the present to do with what you want. But know that whatever you sow, you're going to reap later. So if you want your life to change, take your present, sow good seed in it, and over time, the right harvest will come. So I want my children to be blessed, so I got to take this present that I have with them. Because every parent would tell you they grow up fast. My parents kept saying when we had the little ones, oh, they grow up fast. I look back, that was fast. I mean, it was like what? Maybe 3 weeks ago, we were dedicating Bobby, Chris, and Alicia. 3 weeks ago, and look at them now, they're tall and big. How'd that happen in 3 weeks? Anybody got kids that's already grown out of the house? That was quick, wasn't it? My goodness. I see Sherman back there and Sherman and Larry back there like, Lonnie was just a baby herself. Now she got a baby. And it's amazing. But they said it was quick. And it was quick. Time is short, saints. We got to learn to love our kids. We got to prepare them because they will be out of our influence. And then if we influence them well and taught them and trained them right, they will do well in life. If not, we'll be, I wish I knew better. I'd have done better if I knew better. Well, what stopped you from knowing better? Negating the present. Not studying the word, not reading the word, not bringing the child to church. And years went by. You're going to do it tomorrow. You're going to do it tomorrow. The problem is tomorrow never comes because today is never tomorrow. Once tomorrow does look like it's coming, it's no longer tomorrow, it's today. Tomorrow is always a day away, and it always will be a day away. So don't put off to tomorrow what you could do today, because you'll just keep putting it off. Anybody look back now and say, I remember somebody told me something that if I'd have done that 10 years ago, 5 years ago, oh my gosh, where would I be now? I would be enjoying the present more than I'm enjoying it if I'd have done what I was supposed to do yesterday when it was today. I didn't make use of the present, so I may not have as much saved. I may not have loved as much. I may not remember. And some people wait to the end of their life and they look back and they have a whole last 4 or 5 years of nothing but regrets of what they should have, would have, should have, could have done. They neglected the present. They thought they always had tomorrow, and one day you wake up and you're out of time. Prepare your children today for their future. Don't wait till tomorrow to prepare them. Do something today. Pray with them when you go to bed. We prayed with them even when the infants were there. Deanna was a toddler and Bobby was a toddler and Bobby couldn't really speak. Deanna could mumble some stuff. And Chris was just a little bitty one. We prayed with them then. And then they learned and the day would come where they'd be like, I want to pray. I want to turn. Or we'll say, you go ahead and pray. And I remember Bobby didn't know what to say, but he saw his sister always doing something. He'd want to say something. And Bobby's like, I want to pray. We say, can you pray? I don't know what to say. Bobby, I'm jumping in, both feet, I'm ready, let's do it. Oh, I forgot, I don't know what to say. And I went, just talk to God, you know, God's in heaven, tell God something. He kind of smiled and went like, I love you, God. Something, that's good, God likes that. You love God, that's good. And we went on, and eventually Chris came into the thing and Alicia came in, and we did that for years and years. Company would come, and we'd invite them. My cousin Tracy would come, and she'd be like, Tracy, we all praying now. She's like, what they doing? She's a Christian, but she's not used to that. And we said, we all praying, and she see them all praying. Everybody knew what to do. And they would say, now you pray. It's your turn. We'd squeeze her between me and Helen after the kid. And she'd be like, well, okay, Lord, bless my little cousin. So, but she enjoyed it, too. And other house guests would come. We're going to teach everybody. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's being a man. That's showing your kids that God is important. That's being a father. That's preparing them. And I hope when they grow up, they have spiritual rules and things that make sense at their house. And they do that. Don't just let other people come treat you. Oh, well, your mama don't believe in God. You ain't got to believe him when you come in the door, but you got to respect him. But look at here. It says you got to teach. And this is diligently. This is parents. What you have to do. Parents, love your children. Provide for them. Prepare them. Here's in Proverbs 22:6, familiar scripture. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child. This is a promise from God that if you train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. If you train him up, you teach him daily, and you're going in, you're coming out, you're rising up, you're laying down, you're walking around, you're just sitting there. Model, teach, and train your children about the word of God. And when they're old, they're not going to depart from it. That's a beautiful thing. If I get them when they're young and I get it in them and I do it right when they're old. This is like God is saying their will is irrelevant because you train them to follow my will. My will is their will. And they would grow up and say, Father, not my will, but thy will be done, all because of the way you trained them. That's a promise from God to every parent. I don't want my kids crazy. I don't want my kids stupid financially. I don't want them marrying a fool. I don't want to. What are you doing about that? What are you teaching them to stop that? I'm just warning them not to do it. No, that ain't going to work. Warning is not teaching. Warning is not training. Well, you know, I want my daughter to stay married happily. Are you fighting with your husband in front of her? She's going to learn to fight with her husband, and she ain't going to be happy no more than you happy. Are you not showing love to your wife and just acting any old kind of way and treating her like a slave? And you want your daughter to be happy and all to your son? That ain't going to happen. They're going to follow your training. If you train them up, they'll not depart. If you train them wrong, they might not depart from that. If you train them right, they're guaranteed not to depart from that, because right is light and light is greater than the darkness. Train them up in the way they should go, so when they're old, they'll not depart from it. Obligation of a parent who loves their child is not just to provide for them, but to prepare for them. To prepare them for success in the future. Parents should teach and train their children in these three areas. Teach and train your children, number one, to love God. Teach and train your children to love God. Number two, teach and train your children to know and obey the word of God. Teach them to study the Bible. Let them see you doing it. Do it with them. And then teach them to obey it. This is law, children. This is God. This is what pleases God. Teach them to love God and teach them to know and to obey the word of God. Some of us have problems obeying God because we really weren't taught. We knew our parents were Christians, but they didn't take the time to teach us to obey God. We heard them talk about it, so we have a measure of obedience. But there's a lot of adults in church that don't obey God. They obey their flesh. They don't walk after spirit. You have to teach children to walk after spirit, and you have to model that. The training is you modeling it. The teaching is them showing them scripture and telling them that. And faith comes by hearing, so you can't say it one time. The world is saying there is no God more than you. If the world is saying there is no God more than you saying there is a God, your kid may get faith for the wrong thing. So you have to put a guard about their ear gate and the eye gate. If you're going to parent properly, you're going to prepare them to succeed in life, and that's giving them the word. Point number three is you have to teach them to obey you. Teach children to obey their parents. The Bible says, obey your parents that you might live long in the earth. Many a times I was cutting up, acting a fool, and my mother and father said, look, the Bible says, obey your parents that you might live long. I brought you in. Don't make me have to take you out. My mom and dad are old school, where they got switches that was 3-4 feet long. Your mother would tear you up. And I told my mother once, you heard me say this before, I was, I don't know what I was, 9, 10 or something. And I told my mother, I was standing at the door, said, if you spank me, I'm going to leave. She went to the door, opened the door, said, you leave now, because if you stay here, you're getting a whipping. I'm like, where am I to go? I was like, where am I to go? Nobody else. Oh, tore me up for talking smart. And I learned, don't talk back, just take it. It'd be less. Just take it. You know what I'm saying? Just take it. It'd be less. Don't be like talking back. And if you talk back, you know, my mother's from the South. She'd be like talking and hitting. Don't make me. So you want sentences to be short. You don't want to carry on a conversation with her. You want the word. Don't make me have to tell you that again. You won't be like, mama, but I did. I mean, don't be lying. You just be quiet and get the sentence short and get it over with. You go off crying, but you know what? Next you know, mama, can I help you with something? Anybody know what I'm talking about? People don't know that, but you give a child who need a whooping, who been begging for a whooping, been asking for a whooping, it's like a healing when you lay hands on them. They're like, control. I'm in control of myself. Thank you for rescuing me from myself. I mean, I've seen kids immediately get a whip and turn to angels. The Bible talks about that. Yes, it does. But, you know, and again, these things again. Number one is teach your children to love God. Number two, to know and obey God. Number three, to obey you, to obey their parents. The word says, obey your parents, you might live long. It says in Ephesians 1, children, obey your parents, for this is good unto the Lord. That reminds me of a story that I found about a Chinese guy. And he came to America. And after 6 months in America, they asked him, they said, oh, you in America is not like your country. What were you most impressed with? And the Chinese guy, Eastern culture, he said, I'm most impressed with the way parents obey their children in America. We got a lot of problems with our children because we got folks out. Don't spank your children. Talk to them. The Bible talks spanking them because you talk to them and they didn't listen. The culture is like, there's books out there, never spank your children. I don't believe in just spanking children and just beating children, only the ones that need it. I don't believe in beating folks. I don't believe in locking innocent people up. But those who need to be locked up need to be locked up. I don't believe in capital punishment unless you need it. Like they said in the Wild West, they say he shot the guy. He needed killing. Some folks need it. Some folks just don't want to behave. There's folks that are so messed up, they need to go. They're not going to repent. They've given themselves to the devil. They are full of Lucifer. They need to go. See, the ultimate capital punishment, when God look at people and say, you don't get to go to heaven because of your behavior, so you go to hell forever. That's the ultimate capital punishment because it's forever. It's for life plus eternity. Well, God, how can a loving God put anybody in hell? The devil's going. He rebelled and God said, I ain't having no hard-headed kids. You're going to flow or you're going to go. And God has not changed. The same thing with us. We should obey him and we should prepare our children to obey him and to love him. Because if you don't, the world's going to prepare them to rebel from God and against God. And in the future, they'll end up in hell. You need to teach them to submit to God, to submit to his word. And that Chinese man was most impressed after 6 months traveling to America. He says, I am most impressed by how the parents obey their children. Every now and then you go in the store and you see that mother in there and the kids are there where they put all the stuff for the kids to nag and they want the candy and they want all this. And, Mom, I want that. And the kid throw a little temper tantrum and mom's trying to pay at the register and the kid's cutting up. And she said, no, we're not getting that. And the kid, and the kid get louder. So the mother just take it off and give it to the kid. Then the kid sit there. I did that with my mother. I'm lucky I lived through it. My mother, she put the growth, put it. Look, lady, I got to take care of something. She left all that, took me outside and tore me up. She said, whoa, when I tell you no, that means no. You're like, you go back in the store. I ain't never asked my mother for nothing again at the counter. If I did, it'd be like, mother, could I please have one? No, okay. Training and discipline. And nowadays they call that abuse. Ain't no whips on my body. Did it hurt? Yes, it hurt. If it don't hurt, it don't work. It's like building bodybuilding. Don't hurt, it don't work. You don't hurt, it don't work. Supposed to hurt is punishment. Well, that ain't in the Bible because of loving God. You better stop lying on God. There's a quote that a guy, author, Croft M. Pence said. He said, disobedience at home leads to disobedience in school. That is a fact. Because I knew the kids and I knew their parents who was always cutting up in school. My mother would spank my butt. So I mean, you do mischief stuff. You're a boy, you do mischief stuff. You get a hand spanked, about to stand and hold the book. You get a little punch, but I wasn't in there punching nobody in their face and all that kind of stuff. I wasn't in there being mean and evil. I wasn't cursing the teacher or back mouth or nothing like that. I'd just be throwing some spitballs or something silly. He threw it at me, I threw it back at him, and then you got caught. Something like that. But I had none of that other kind of behavior. My mother straightened that out at home. My father straightened out at home. So when I went to school, I was a good kid. I got decent citizenship grades. Okay. But the guy said disobedience at home leads to disobedience in school and disrespect for authority. You trying to get your kids locked up in jail? Don't teach them discipline at home. You're trying to get them expelled from school? Don't teach them discipline at home. You're trying to get them to not want to study and not want to do that because they don't have self-control, they haven't developed discipline? Don't teach them any. Discipline is the ability of the spirit to control the flesh. And there are a lot of undisciplined people who have problems serving God because that thing they want to do, they do not, because they're flesh controlled because nobody ever taught them. Nobody can make you do it. My mother can never make me not do something. We might say, my mother wouldn't have that. She made me do it. I say that loosely, but the actual term is, unless you can get in my brain and control the controls, you can't make me obey you. But what you can do is create the circumstances around my disobedience that I choose to obey you. And I tell my flesh, shut up, flesh, because you may not know, but mama going to tear you up. I don't want to do this, but I'm going to take control of my flesh and my desires. I'm going to do it. That's discipline. The ability to do that, what your spirit wants to do. The ability to do what you, the real you, wants to do when your flesh wants to do something else. How many people don't have discipline to go to the gym? How many people don't have discipline to lose weight? How many people don't have discipline to manage their money? How many people don't have discipline to love other people? They act on what they feel. That's a lack of parental training. They haven't been trained how to control themselves. Look at what else Croft Pence says. He says also in that same quote, disobedience at home leads to disobedience in school and disrespect for authority. He also says children should be taught and even forced to obey their parents. Now, we think in this society, nobody should be forced to do anything because we're all free. There's no such thing as freedom without explaining free from what or free to do what. There's no such thing as absolute freedom. You're a Christian. You ain't free. You have to do what God said do. You're not free to sin and be a Christian. There's no absolute freedom. It's freedom from what and freedom to do what. So here they're talking about children should be taught and even forced to obey. And if you ask the average person, should parents force children to obey? I say yes. Should they be willing to use force to get their children to obey? I say yes. But people be like, I don't know. I don't know if, you know, if God would want you to force somebody. I don't, because see, God don't force us. God let us sin. But we also get consequences of our sin. And the consequences are what I'm calling the force. The consequences are force. Now let's go to this final one. This is one that when we come by that training and that teaching, sometimes training and teaching needs to be that the pupil needs to be motivated. And it says that if you apply the Board of Education to your child's seat of knowledge, they gain wisdom. My mother was not having it. And when she said, I ain't having it, she wasn't having it. And she spanked my behind as much. My sister gives me spanks I did because my sister wasn't as hard-headed as I was. But I'm glad my mother did it because it disciplined me. I stopped doing what she was trying to do with the spanking to get me to curb my behavior. I learned self-control. If I didn't have self-control, I wouldn't be here in the ministry right now. Be somewhere out in the world just doing what feels good. But look at what it says there in Proverbs 22:15. This is the Bible just as much as Jesus is coming back. The Bible tells you, as a matter of fact, foolishness in the heart of a child. Why? Because in the learning process, you tell people what to do. Their flesh didn't want to do it. So they know it, but they act like they don't know it. What is a fool? A fool is a person who has knowledge but acts like they don't have the knowledge. A fool is not an ignorant man. An ignorant man doesn't have the knowledge. A fool is one who has the knowledge, but act like they don't have it. They know better. Your mama told you that. You know better. I told you. And they go act like she didn't tell them. That's a fool. And in the learning process, mama and daddy would tell you things, and you'll go do the same thing out of habit of sin or out of wanting to fulfill the need of the flesh. You won't discipline yourself. So that's foolish. And the Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from them. Do you beat your children for everything? No, everything's not a spanking offense. Sometimes it's a timeout. Sometimes we take an allowance. Sometimes we take away the video game. But there are some things that are spanking offense. My kids have occasionally done things. I say, oh, no, no, that right there is too dangerous for them. They should not have done that. They were doing things with some knives and watching a movie or something. And the movie, they throwing knives. And they little kids. They don't know no better. So they in the kitchen throwing knives at the wall, trying to stick them in the wall. And I came in the house and saw them throwing knives. This is one of those times. What are you boys doing? And they wasn't throwing at each other or nothing, but and they were standing apart. They were in their mind at a safe distance. I didn't see me. But the thing is, that's my wall. You got all these holes and nicks in the wall. and you're playing with knives, which you could accidentally fall, accidentally do something. They were really young. I ain't talking about 3 years old. They were around 5, 6, 7, something like that. But I was like big enough to see stuff on TV, then go act it out. And I said, no, I said, look, you boys. So I fussed at him. I said, look, go in the back room, get ready. Get ready. I said, because you're getting your butt spanked. Well, Daddy, we ain't going to do it again. Oh, I know you ain't going to do it again. We ain't never going to do it again. I know you ain't never going to do it again. Because I said, but you cannot be in here playing with knives. You guys should know you could have killed yourself. No, I don't want to hear it. Get in that room. And they went back there and I tore them up. In love, of course. They didn't feel loved, but I was loving them. I got to teach you to think before you act, because there's folks in jail because they had an impulse and they acted on it. And they didn't think. They didn't have self-discipline. Is mama and daddy probably going to knock me out throwing these things in their wall? They knew that. They just didn't think about it. Well, you need to teach people. Don't you think it's a good thing to think before you act, because your action, the consequences might be what you didn't intend? That is a good lesson to teach and to train children. You think before you act. Impulse can get you killed. Somebody does something on the road and you just run over and you thought you was going to bump their car, but you sent them a tailspin and it flipped over and they died and you stand in court. I didn't mean it was an accident, but they're still dead because you couldn't control yourself. Don't be impulsive. You would do dangerous things. You get mad at somebody, you're slamming the door, you're throwing something, you're busting holes in the wall. That is dangerous. Not because you broke the door and all. I know where that leads. Somebody in the street say something, then you turn around and do something. They pull out a gun and shoot you because you didn't think, hey, I don't know this person. They might be armed. You just reacted because they pushed you. You have got to think, where am I at? This ain't my side of town. Whatever they did, let me get in my car and leave. But if you just like, what? Pow, pow. That's where it happened in the city, y'all. I don't know if you grew up in the city, but that's just where it happened. You front the wrong person, you're dead. You need to think. These people are dangerous out in this world. If you don't think, you're going to get in trouble. Well, you know, it felt so good. Your first child out of wedlock. Because it felt so good. Did you not think? You don't have a job. So you train your children to think. Now, punishment is what you do to follow up the teaching and the training. You go in the military and they're training you and you don't do it right, there's some KP duty. There's some 100 push-ups. There's something. You're on a basketball thing, you don't do what they should do. Give me laps. Punishment is a part of discipline learning. Punishment is a part of development. And this whole world system takes punishment out except for what benefits them. They are not telling the police stop punishing people. They're not telling the military to stop court-martialing people. They will field court-martial you out there and shoot you on the field if they think you're a detriment to the truth. They ain't going to coddle you, but they tell you, don't spank your kids because they want you to be a fool. They know what works and don't work. You think the penal system is there forgiving everybody? They're there to punish you if you don't do what they want you to do. You break those laws, they will punish you. But they tell you, don't punish your kids. That way the parents have no control over the children. They're almost at the point where they arrest you now. Matter of fact, if the spankings I got, where there was maybe some marks there from the switch, if it broke skin, they didn't take those pictures and lock my mother up. There's no marks on my body, nothing left. It worked fine. They would want to lock her up for abuse when she was not sparing the rod. And she didn't do anything permanent to my body. But yes, it hurt. And yes, she spanked me. And yes, she hurt me. But she didn't kill me. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from you. Chasten thy son, Proverbs 19:18. Chasten thy son while there's hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. You better just be quiet. Mama didn't care about the crying. Boy, don't be starting that crying. You wasn't crying them crocodile tears when you was doing that. I told you not to do it. You just suck it up. You don't want to do all that. I guess my mother read the Bible or something. Chasing thy children while there is hope, while they're young, before they get these foolish behaviors or they're too big for you to spank them. Chasing them while there's still hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Proverbs 13:24, the parent or he who spares his rod hates his child. This is the Bible telling you, you hate your child if you don't spank them and they need a spanking. Everything's not a spanking offense. Everything's not a rod offense. But if it is a rod offense where you really need to let them know the severity of that behavior and the danger of that, that's what they're trying to tell you. He who spares his rod hates his child, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. It says punishment
means to impose an undesirable or unpleasant outcome as a deterrent to unacceptable action or behavior. Now, isn't that exactly what it is? It's to impose an undesirable or unpleasant outcome. You control the circumstance. You can't control the person. You control the consequence of the bad action, and they will control themselves. That's them learning self-discipline. You can't discipline them. They learn self-discipline. You can create the environment in which they discipline themselves. Because if you just make them do stuff when they leave the house, they're going to go on. But if you create the environment where they have to self-discipline, that's the problem with discipline. People don't understand how it works. Hey, do what you want to, but if you do what I didn't tell you, this is going to happen. Then they go pick some little punishment or something soft. Punishment's got to fit the crime, or the crime is not deterred. If you want people, let's say if you want people to stop speeding, give them 40 lashes minus one publicly on TV. They'll stop speeding. You want kids to stop doing graffiti? When a kid is caught with graffiti or you keep seeing it, you erase it, come back, put one of those cameras up there, get a picture of the kid, make their parents leave work that day, come down at noon while they cane the parent 5 times and the kid 20 times. They'll stop writing graffiti. Punishment fit the crime. You remember that American who's over in Singapore? What did he do? Did he graffiti or peed on the sidewalk or something? He did something and they beat the boy 30 times. I bet you that boy ain't never going to do that again. And we thought that's inhumane. But you go to Singapore, the city is clean. They don't need to hire anybody to pick up the trash. That's what people don't understand, the peaceful fruits of the righteousness after the people has endured the chastening. We don't see the peaceful fruits of righteousness. We think people are just going to behave on their own. Foolish is a pent up in the heart of a child, and people are born in sin. They're not naturally going to do right. They have to be trained to do right. They have to be trained in the word. They have to be taught the word. We're going to close. Well, we got to summarize, but there's a quote. There's a commentary called Benson's Commentary. In Proverbs 19:18, Benson's commentary says, "Forbear not to give the child necessary correction because of a foolish, destructive piety that you may have excited by his tears and his cries." In other words, some parents, it hurt me so much, and the kid throw them fake crocodile tears, and the parent just stop. Baby, I can't spank you. It just hurt me so bad to spank you. Do you realize how much you're hurting them? Forbear not to give him due the necessary correction through a foolish and destructive piety exacted by the tears and cries. For it is better that the child should cry under thy rod than under the sword of the magistrate, or which is more feared, the divine vengeance. So it's saying it's better that the child be disciplined by you then they end up in jail by the court system, or they end up in hell by God. It is better that you discipline your child so they don't end up in jail being some bad man's boyfriend, or end up knifed or shanked, or end up in hell because they didn't learn discipline so they couldn't follow and obey God. Listen how important it is to be a good parent. Very important. Closing in summary, next slide, final slide. Parents, love your children. Three ways that the Bible talks about that you can show your love for a child, that you're expected to show your love for a child as a godly parent. You are to realize that love provides first for children's needs for food, clothing, and shelter. Checklist. Make sure you're doing that. Love prepares children for a prosperous and healthy life, knowing and obey God. Make sure you're taking to church. Make sure you teach the word in and out as you go about the year. Make sure you learn it so you can teach it to them. And point number three, love punishes children to deter them from unacceptable behaviors that might harm them or others now and in the future. It's important, parents. Your children need you. They need you. Our children need godly parents. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the word today, and I thank you.